David, lots going on. I want to start with the Iran war. The U.S. and Iran seem stuck in a stalemate where every quote-unquote ceasefire looks less like a path to peace and more like a chance for both sides to, rest and reload. How serious are both sides actually about, reaching some sort of deal, and who holds the leverage right now?
Well, I think both Iran and the U.S., Iranian leaders and President Trump are sincere in their desire for peace, but they want peace on their terms. Iran has kind of minimum peace terms or peace demands, so does President Trump. And unfortunately, there was a deal on the table that was negotiated about actually 2 weeks ago today by Steve Witkoff. That was on President Trump's desk to sign for 3 days, and then about a week and a half ago, he decided to reject that deal and decided to make a counteroffer to Iran. And Iran did not formally reject that until 8 days ago. And that was done because of Israel's offensive in Lebanon. Obviously, its bombing of Beirut. At that point, Iranian leaders said that all peace talks had been suspended, and I think that's accurate. Meanwhile, President Trump has said, "Oh no, that's not true. Peace is around the corner. We're making rapid progress, despite the there's no evidence to support that." Pakistani mediators have been, trying to be optimistic, and they certainly have met with Iran and may have conveyed U.S. Peace proposals since then to Iran, but Iran has not responded other than to say that they're not going to even discuss anything until two basic conditions are met, and that is the U.S. needs to release $24 billion in Iran's frozen funds, and all Israeli troops must be withdrawn, from Lebanon. So not just a ceasefire. Previously, the only demanded a ceasefire. Now they're calling for a full Israeli military withdrawal from Lebanon, and that's something that's not likely to happen unless President Trump really turns up the screws on Prime Minister Netanyahu, who's running for re-election, and as Prime Minister. And Trump is, just based on Netanyahu's actions, where Trump said, don't attack Iran back, and hold to a ceasefire in Lebanon. Netanyahu was basically giving him the middle finger and said, "I'm going to do whatever you want. Screw you." So, obviously, shows who wears the pants in that relationship.
So, regarding the deal, are there particular sticking points that both sides can't get over? Is it about saving face and coming out to your own group as, hey, look, I won this? I mean, and is there a way forward here? Or are we looking at further escalation or just kind of same thing we're doing already?
Well, I think we're going to see further escalation. We saw President Trump say that he's going to respond militarily to Iranian shoot down of a helicopter over the Strait of the Persian Gulf region. No, there were no U.S. losses, but the helicopter was shot down. But we've seen U.S. military strikes happen on almost a daily basis over the past 2 weeks or so. So this seems like more of the same. President Trump says the deal's around the corner, and yet the attacks escalate. And not in terms of full-scale strikes, although we have seen pretty heavy strikes between the U.S. or rather Israel and Iran just this past few days. But in terms of a peace deal, there are some sticking points that Trump has had issues with. Iran has essentially agreed to a 10-year moratorium on enrichment. Trump's point is pushing for 20 years or even never, kind of a ban on all enrichment in the future for uranium enrichment. And then also on their nuclear program, Trump is demanding all of Iran's enriched uranium, not just the 1,000 pounds of highly enriched uranium, but also the 22,000 pounds of low enriched uranium. Be sent to the U.S. or possibly, or either destroyed or sent to Pakistan or some other third-party country other than Russia or China, and that's not something Iran has been willing to commit to. So I think those are some of the key issues. I mentioned the issue of obviously the blockade. That's something that's that Iran has said the blockade must end before any as part of any 60-day ceasefire MOU. And really, what's being discussed, this isn't really a true ceasefire, as you alluded to. This is, essentially low intensity warfare. And President Trump even said that. He was asked at a press conference, what's your definition of a ceasefire? You're bombing Iran almost every day. How's that a ceasefire? And he basically said, well, my opinion of a ceasefire is that you bomb the enemy more moderately. So I think that was a kind of an unusual moment of candor on the part of the president. President Trump likes to exaggerate. He likes to lie about the war. Almost every aspect of the war, he's lying. He's misleading the American people, giving false statements, saying there's peace when there's no peace, that it's around the corner, that Iran has capitulated, that Iran's military has been destroyed. All of those statements have been thoroughly refuted by the actions of Iran over the last few weeks.
And I think for the longest time, he said that we're more like in a scuffle, we're not even in a war. This is our supposed to be our anti-war president. I recently saw clips, we will never go to war. We will get America out of war. Anti-war, anti-war, this. And it seems like he's done a complete 180. What's your best explanation for that?
Well, you're absolutely right. I mean, during his 2024 campaign alone, actually, no, it was throughout his presidency, his first term in office, and since before that, in about 2025, there were at least 50 recorded times where he said either, no new wars, no regime change wars. In his inaugural address, he said, I'm gonna end wars and prevent new wars from happening. He pledged to keep us out of World War III. All of these pledges have been completely repudiated, and essentially, what I think has happened is, President Trump, the first 3 months of his presidency, were really outstanding. He was performing, he was keeping all of his promises, he was trying to bring peace in Ukraine, and with a negotiated peace deal, he was had a Gaza ceasefire, which he encouraged Israel to repudiate after he was able to get that in place 1 day before he even became president again. And then what happened is the Epstein files cover up in May of 2025 is when that began. I think it was May 16th when he stated that, he basically said, I don't want, to all my supporters, I don't want your support if you support the release of the Epstein files. He behaved in a very guilty manner. I hadn't previously believed that he was guilty of crimes related to the Epstein sex ring, but very clearly he is, or he's someone in his close orbit or family or close friends of his, but most likely he himself is guilty of some kind of criminal wrongdoing. And I think Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, as Israeli leaders have done for decades, stretching all the way back to the USS Liberty with LBJ's reaction to the attempted sinking of the Liberty. I think Israel is blackmailing President Trump. I don't think they're threatening his life or the life of any of his family members, as Joe Kent has kind of alluded they might be. But I think they're absolutely blackmailing him that if he doesn't do their bidding, if he doesn't keep fight this war against Iran, they might consider publishing. They have the full Epstein files, obviously, because it was. An Israeli Mossad sex ring. It was an Israeli honeypot operation. So they have the goods on Trump. And worst case scenario, if he were to declare independence from Israel, cut off all security assistance, and brand AIPAC as a foreign lobby, I think he knows that Netanyahu could retaliate by publishing incriminating details about his involvement with underage girls or other criminal behavior related to the sex ring.
Wow.
And then that's my point was in saying that was that was the turning point. It was only then that he became this neocon war president, where the very next month he started freezing out Tulsi Gabbard, as director of national intelligence from Iran war planning. He bombed, with Operation Midnight Hammer, he bombed them in late June. Didn't claimed it was obliterated Iran's nuclear capabilities as recently as February 14th of this year, only to say 2.5 weeks later that Iran was 2 weeks away again from having nukes, and that's a whole different discussion.
So I spoke with Ryan Dawson recently, and we were talking about the JFK, the RFK assassinations, and we were looking at, LBJ, and just it made me think about how even presidencies, how presidents, I mean, who knows? I don't know the truth about. I mean, I don't purport to know anything except it makes me wonder about people in leadership being compromised. Is President Trump in a position where, if this is a likely explanation, where he is being blackmailed by Netanyahu, is that something that would not only explain what we're seeing, but wouldn't that put the United States in a real huge jeopardy here? Is that what we're seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is the second time in a row where we've had a foreign compromised U.S. president. Joe Biden, obviously China had the goods. I think even Zelensky had the goods on him in terms of his corrupt family dealings, business dealings. So he kind of had to appease China and Ukraine with regards to Trump. There, Ukraine and China don't have any, unless the Epstein files are available to China. They don't have any compromised materials on him. Russia doesn't have any compromised materials on him. So he's an independent actor as far as they're concerned. But with regards to Israel, he is very much essentially an Israeli-controlled asset, just as I deduce that Joe Biden was a Chinese-controlled asset. And that is a massive national security threat to the United States because it essentially ensures that he is acting in the best interests of a foreign power instead of the interests of the United States of America.
Hey guys, Andy here. If you like this clip, please click in the show notes below to get the full interview or in the link in the discussion to get the full interview. We launched NRS World recently, and if you want to be a part of that community, please feel free to subscribe. It'll help us grow the channel to get you the best geopolitical guests that we can come up with and to help you stay informed. See you over there.